Amen. We are, aren't we? Thankful for Jesus. I tell you what, we're also thankful for everyone coming out to worship with us this evening. How many of you are ready to learn the Word of God? Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look here in chapter 12 and verse 1. Pick up where we left off last Wednesday. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, man, we sure would love to give you one. You can lift up your hand and our happy ushers, they'll be in the aisles now. And they'll give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can hold on to that one. If you do have a Bible, just for whatever reason you weren't able to bring it to church with you this evening, you can give that Bible back to our ushers at the end of the service. My goodness, it's important that you keep the right things in front of your eyes and ears. Amen, amen. Including the Bible. You know, you have gates to your body. You know, your mouth is a gate. Your ears are gates. Your eyes are gates. What goes into the mouth feeds the body. The body grabs a hold of that food and takes out the nourishment and provides strength to your physical body. But what goes into your eyes and what goes into your ears is digested by your heart. And the heart will digest that information, what you're putting before those gates, your ears and your eyes, and will begin to minister life to you. But even with your mouth gate, if you get a hold of the wrong type of food, and you get a hold of something that would be laced with some type of poison or have some type of harmful ingredient in it, you could take a hold of that, and to your mouth, it could even taste good. But once it got down to digesting, it would minister harm to your body. I mean, it could be very detrimental to your health. Isn't that right? I mean, you get a hold of the wrong type of foods, or you eat something that had some type of disease in it, and I tell you what, you can get a case of Montezuma's revenge. I never will forget, I came home from Africa, a missions trip. And you eat what everyone else is eating. And we came into Nairobi, and we went into a Burger King. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is the chance. And so I got two Whoppers. But I knew as soon as I started eating it, I shouldn't be eating this. But zeal overtook wisdom in that moment. And man, I tell you what, it didn't minister the right thing to me. It tasted good in my mouth, but I tell you what, it didn't minister life to my body. Well, the same thing is true with your other gates, with your ear gates and your eye gates. There may be things that your eyes enjoy looking at. Could be certain magazines, could be something on the internet, could be a TV show or a movie. And man, it feels good watching. But friend, I'm telling you what you're watching, you're not just seeing, it's going into your heart. Your heart is digesting that. And it's ministering life or death to you. Same thing is true with your ears. There may be music that's sweet to the ears. I mean, it tastes good to the ears. But if it's laced with the wrong stuff, and the wrong spirit is behind it, friend, it can be very detrimental to your spiritual growth. And I'm saying all of this for a reason. This evening, right before I came to church, I tell you what, I had a revelation. Some people may use the word epiphany. But I saw in my own self that life really doesn't change until the image you have of your life changes in your own heart. Your life will never change. You will never change until the image you have of yourself in your own heart changes. I'll give you an example. As a pastor, you minister to all types of people. And if someone comes in with some type of addiction, they can try everything in the natural to get free from that addiction. But if they believe in their own heart, they're bound. They see themselves as bound in their own heart. And you can, you know, your words will always tell you where your heart is. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And they'll say phrases like, no matter what I do, I just can't. And you can fill in the blank. Just can't seem to get free from blank. See, they could try to do all these things in the natural to get free, but until their own heart sees themselves as free, they will never be free. Now, your gates are designed to build a mental image into your own heart. And when the standard in your heart changes, your life will arise to that standard. There are things that I'm doing in ministry and life today that I saw years ago. But when I saw them years ago, I didn't have a mastery of it in my own heart. I would almost say in my heart it would be my life should look like that. But now it's my life must look like that. It's my standard in my own heart. And because of that, when your heart grabs a hold of something, it begins to move heaven and earth to arrange your life to look exactly like the image you have of your life in your own heart. Now, maybe you need to get the CD and listen to that over again. But friend, I'm telling you, it's the absolute truth. The only thing that can change the image you have of your life in your own heart is by changing what goes in front of your gates. This is why putting the Word of God before your ears and before your eyes is of the utmost importance. You begin to see who you are in Christ. And when that becomes the reality in your own heart, heaven and earth will move to transform your life into that image. And not only that, but getting a good vision book in front of you, what you want your life to look like, it'll build a standard in your own heart, and your heart won't settle for anything less. And when your heart won't settle for anything less, your life will then begin to arise to that standard. But it all comes down to what you're putting in front of your gates, what you're allowing your heart to digest. Whatever's going through your eyes, whatever's going through your ears, it is being nourished in your own heart. And friend, I'm telling you, it's either nourishing life or death to you. You got to choose which one you want. Minister life to yourself. I'm telling you, years ago, I got a hold of this principle, and I made a decision. I would have put as much of God's Word as possible before my eyes and before my ears. You ask my wife, we get in the car, there's preaching playing. Why? I want that in my ears. I want that before my eyes, the Word of God before me, vision books in front of me. But friend, I don't know if you've noticed, but you can keep seeing our ministry is keep going from one level to the next. And it's not because I'm amazing at what I do. It's because on the inside, God is constantly raising that standard in my own heart. I said years ago, if you like us now, you're definitely going to like us later. And think about all that we have to offer now that we didn't have to offer then. Multiple services, Sunday school, the Life Poindexter, the Life Truck, women's ministry, men's ministry, power, all of these different things. Well, that doesn't happen just because someone wants to make a program happen. When vision is administered to your own heart, your heart will grab a hold of that and move heaven and earth, move this entire life to match the image you have of your life in your own self. What do you see in your heart right now? What does your life look like in your own heart? What image do you have of your own self in your heart? If that's all you see of yourself, that's all your life will be. What image do you have of your life in your heart? What you're experiencing, where you're going, the type of income you're experiencing, the type of level of living you're living. Friend, I'm telling you, none of those other natural things will change until that spiritual thing changes. But if in your own heart you start seeing a different life, and it's not, oh, I'd like to have a life like that, it's, I must, that's your standard in yourself, friend, I'm telling you, heaven and earth will move to make your life match that standard. So I said all of that to say this, get your Bibles in front of you, read them, learn them, get in them, because God's got an amazing, amazing vision for you. All of that was for free. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, are talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. We said the last couple of weeks that there are two reasons that we've gone over why people do not pray in an unknown tongue. The first reason is this: they've never been taught. And the Bible said that if, as long as you're occupying the room of the unlearned, it's impossible for you to agree with tongues, because the gift of tongues is something that confuses the understanding. To a lot of people's understanding, the gift of tongues seems weird. And so as long as you're occupying in the room of the unlearned, you won't see the benefits of it. If you don't see the benefits of something, you'll never do that thing. And so the first reason why people don't pray in an unknown tongue, they've never been taught it, just plain and simple. For whatever reasons, preachers, maybe it's because they think more people will come to their church if they don't make mention of it. But I know a lot of preachers who are filled with the Holy Ghost, but who wouldn't dare try to preach it in their services for fear that someone may be run off by it. I'm not that intimidated by man. I'd rather have the pleasing to God than be pleasing to man any day. But I said all of that to say this: in order for us to agree with tongues, you got to learn about the gift of tongues. Because once you learn why God has given us that gift, there's no reason in this world why, one, you wouldn't want it, and why, two, you wouldn't do it as much as possible. And what I mean by do it is pray in an unknown tongue. We said the second reason why people aren't filled with the Holy Ghost is because they've seen extremes. Churches, for whatever reason, have violated what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And so they've seen abuses of this gift. They've seen it and they don't understand it. It's ministered confusion to them. And because of that confusion, they've gone away thinking, I don't want any part of that. We said that there are a lot of churches saying, well, that's just a manifestation of the Spirit. But we said, no, we know exactly how the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in a church. He tells us so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pick up with that. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For him to say, I don't want you to be ignorant, means there's a lot of ignorance concerning spiritual gifts. But not for us, because we're going to learn what he wrote. He said, I would not have you be ignorant. And go down to verse 3. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calling by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So he's about to tell us how the Spirit will manifest himself in a church setting. You don't have to wonder, I wonder if that's the Holy Spirit or not. No, you can know exactly whether or not it's the Holy Spirit or not, because like we read last week, the Word and the Spirit will always do what? They will always agree. You will never see the Holy Spirit do something different than what is written in the Word. The Word and the Spirit will always agree so that he is ministering peace. And he tells us exactly how the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in a service. And he says in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Who's he here? The Holy Spirit. These are all gifts of the Spirit, and they are only in operation as the Holy Spirit wills. These are not something that as a man, as a pastor, as a believer, you can just turn on. You can't turn on the gifts of healing. It's not up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit. Now, at any time, you can lay hands on the sick And if you have faith in it and they have faith in it, they can receive healing. A gift of healing, though, is when they don't have any faith at all, almost, and God just gives them a supernatural gift of healing. I gave the example last week of the first-time visitor who came into the church, cancer riddled all throughout his body. The doctors had given up hope on him. Neighbors heard about it, invited him to come to church. We laid hands on him. I lay hands on a lot of people, but this time it was different. When I laid hands on him, I felt the gift of healing come into operation. I told him, I said, I don't know what you believe. Like I said, it was his first time with the church, but I said, I know this. I felt something go into your body. He said, I felt it too. I said, go back to the doctor and ask him to give you an examination. I believe that when they do, you're going to find out you've been healed. Well, sure enough, he did. God did. And he came back and said, I'm healed of the Lord. There's no cancer in my body. And it did what the gifts of the Spirit are designed to do. Why doesn't God do that all the time? Well, he does it to minister faith to other people. When God ministers the gifts of the Spirit and they are in operation, what it does is it brings God down into the natural realm. When a true gift of the Spirit is in manifestation, you can't deny it. No one's wondering whether or not it's God. God is so prevalent in the natural realm that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, even unbelievers will fall down on their knees and say, God is in you fellas in truth. And like in that situation, all of his relatives heard about it. One flew in from Atlanta. Another one came up to for Louisiana for prayer too. It opened up the gospel to those other people. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are designed to do. They're designed to minister faith to other people. With their own faith, they can now believe God for what they need. Does that make sense? Oh, somebody said, well, why God doesn't do it all the time? Because God wants his people doing what we've been talking about on Sunday morning, living by faith. That we don't need God to just hand us something. No, we rise up and we get in agreement with God and receive it from him. That it's not just God just giving it, but we're reaching out with the hand of faith to receive what God so willingly wants to give. The gifts of the Spirit, though, I had someone ask me this last week, and I want to teach on this more, but this is not my subject matter for tonight, so maybe in another series I'll actually go through each one of these gifts and highlight why we have them and what they're there for. But someone asked me, said, I believe that God wants to work one of these gifts through me. And he said, I want to know how I can manifest it. And like I told him, what I'm telling you, that it's not you manifesting these gifts. They are as the Spirit wills. All you can do is make yourself available for whenever he wants to administer these gifts, you have the boldness to actually step out and work with him. Because it does take boldness to do it. In fact, Brother Hagin said, you know, he was over prayer and healing school there at Rhema. And way back when a man named David Horton was over the prayer and healing school, people coming in from all over the world for healing. Well, this man, David Horton, was over it. And anyway, there was some meetings up in Canada where the gifts of the Spirit, primarily what we would call in our circles the power gifts. That's the working of miracles, gifts of healings, and the gift of faith. They were in manifestation. And so people were coming from all over the world out to these meetings in Canada and receiving healing from these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so they were believing God in prayer for these gifts. And so they were praying, and they'd have prayer meetings all the time for more of the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Brother Hagin came one day. In fact, Brother David Horton went to go pick up Brother Hagin from the airport. He was picking him up in his Bronco. I remember the story vividly. He picked him up in his Bronco and was taking him back over to Brother Hagin's house. And he was telling him about these meetings in Canada and how in prayer school they were believing God for these miracles to show up in healing school. And they were driving, and they said it was pulling up into Brother Hagin's driveway. And Brother Hagin said, they don't come just by prayer. Now, you do need to desire them, and you do need to want them. But he said, if you're ever going to want to see them fully in manifestation, what you need is boldness to act. And when you have that boldness to act, then you can step out in faith to receive some of these things. So I said that to put it this way, that we all as believers need to make ourselves available for the gifts of the Spirit to work in our life. I was talking to our youth pastor the other day, and he was saying that out in the foyer, he was talking to someone about a particular issue. And, you know, they were off to a side and no one was around them listening in to this conversation. And another church member came up to just make general talk. And as they were talking, they answered exactly what that person needed to hear with the word of knowledge. They didn't even know it was a gift of the Spirit in operation. They just started talking and told them exactly what they needed to hear. Well, that's something that can happen in everyone's life where it's not spooky and it's not weird. It's just God ministering life to his body. So we need to be open to these things. But one of the gifts that he made mention of here was the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, many people, when they teach on the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of teaching or speaking in tongues, they'll pull out this scripture and say, well, see there, it's not for everyone. Not everyone can speak in an unknown tongue. It's as the Spirit wills, and some people have that gift, and other people don't have that gift. And why they're getting it confused is there is a difference between the private gift of tongues and the public gift of tongues. We've already mentioned that at no time should tongues ever be given in any assembly from a pastor, from a praise and worship leader, from anyone in the audience. At no time, according to the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there should never be any tongues given in a public assembly unless there is what? An interpretation. Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And he was talking about that in a public setting, that it would do you no good to hear me speak with tongues, that it'd be better for me to say God loves you than for me to get up here and just be talking in tongues all the time. Why? Because I was edified when I spoke in tongues, but you didn't get anything else at all. You didn't receive any revelation. The public gift of tongues, when it's ministered to a body of believers, when it's ministered in a in front of someone who is unlearned or someone who doesn't know God, whenever the public gift of tongues is in manifestation, it is not when you will it. You can't turn it on or turn it off. It is by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God gives a tongue in a public setting, it will either be one of two things. It'll either be number one, like it was on the day of Pentecost. Remember what happened in the day of Pentecost? We looked at it last week. It was an unknown tongue to the people who were speaking it, but it was a known tongue to other people there. There were people from all different parts of the world for this festival, basically. And when the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in an unknown tongue. But these were not just unknown tongues like the private gift. These were known tongues for a public gift for other people there. And all these people from all these different nations, it'd be like someone coming into our assembly tonight, and over there there's one from France, and over there there's one from China, and over there there's one from Japan, and over there, there's one from Croatia. And the Holy Spirit comes in here so strong that all of a sudden I start speaking fluid French. Now, it's completely Greek to me. I wouldn't know it, you know, maybe a couple of words here or there. But to speak it fluently, that would be a public gift. And to you, you couldn't understand it. But to that one person who was over there who was French, and maybe they were an unbeliever like they were on the day of Pentecost, they get up and they are amazed because I'm speaking fluently the wonderful works of God. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It was a public gift of the manifestation of tongues that did not cause confusion, but rather ministered life because there were people there who could understand their words. Does that make sense? All right. Now, this happens occasionally. I've been in services where, I was listening to a tape the other day, and my father was actually there in the service, but there was it was a three-tag team type message with Norval Hayes, John Osteen, and Kenneth E. Hagin. And Brother Hagin went last, and at the end of his teaching, they were talking to Bible school students. At the end of it, he starts using an unknown tongue, but it was tongue tongues from all different parts of the world. And basically he was saying there are some missionaries who right now are learning this language. And he starts using that language fluently. And he starts giving them direction on how to reach those people. Then he goes over into another language, then another language, then another language. And each person's coming forward perfectly understanding what he's saying, getting inspiration for their ministry. I could give testimony after testimony of times where I've seen that happen. But that's a public use of tongues. You, as a believer, cannot turn that on. You can't make that happen. Another time where it happens is a public gift of tongues, where there is an unknown tongue, and it's not known by anyone in the audience or anyone in the world, but it's always followed by an interpretation of that tongue that ministers life to everyone who is there. It's not a kooky word. It's not a weird word. It's not something that people leave saying, I wonder if that was God or not. No, a true interpretation to an unknown tongue will lead to people knowing that was God in truth. It will minister peace to everyone there. That is the public gift of tongues, and that is given to individuals as the Holy Spirit wills. You cannot turn that off or on. You've just got to be available to do it when the Lord gives it to you. But whenever there is a tongue in a public setting, there will always be an interpretation that follows it. Now go over, and we're still here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but let's look here in verse 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. Here he's talking about all these things that he talked about all throughout Acts chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's saying in verse 30, he says, have all the gifts of healings. What's the answer to that? No, not everyone has the gift of healing. Now, any believer can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover if they're done in faith. But like I said, a gift of healing is a gift. It's ministered through someone to someone else who, whether or not they're in faith or not, they receive a gift of healing. And the answer is no, not everyone has a gift of healing. Do all speak with tongues? He's not talking about tongues being used in a private setting. He's talking about tongues being used in a public setting. And once again, the answer to that is no. Now, people have taken that scripture and they've run with it. See, even Paul said not everyone would speak in tongues. That's because he wasn't talking about tongues for a personal gift. He was talking about tongues in a private setting. Or in a public setting. Here you can keep reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now he's about to talk about the difference between using tongues in a public setting and using tongues in a private setting. And watch what he says here in verse 15. He says, what is it then? Now notice the term here. I will, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the what? Spirit. And I will pray with the what? Also, I will sing with the what? And I will sing with the what? Understanding also. Notice who's doing it. Paul says, who will? I will. This is not the Holy Spirit moving upon Paul and he's giving a public prayer in the Spirit or a public song in the Spirit. No, he's talking about in his private life that in private, I will speak in tongues whenever I want to pray in tongues. I will sing in tongues whenever I want to. It's something he has the ability to turn on or turn off. Does that make sense? It's not as the Spirit wills. That private gift of tongues is as Paul wills. There's a couple other scriptures that illustrates this point as well. Verse 18, watch what he says here. He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you ought. Oh, is he saying that all of these believers can speak with tongues? Yes, every one of them in their private tongue can speak with tongues as much as they want. But he said, if you give a public tongue, there better be an interpretation to it every time you give it. Because the public tongue, it's as the Spirit wills, but your private tongues is as you will. Go down to verse 18. Go down to verse 23. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and what? All speak with what? Tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are crazy? And the answer is, yes, they will, because I've been in services like that where some of my friends came into a church and they saw that gift without an interpretation and they left thinking we were crazy. So with that, the answer is yes. When the gift of tongues is used in public, it has to have an interpretation immediately following it, or it will minister confusion to anyone who is unlearned or an unbeliever. But the gift of tongues in private is something they all could do. Everyone in here right now who's filled with the Holy Spirit could talk in tongues right now. If I wanted to, I could switch over to tongues at the drop of a hat right now and pray in an unknown tongue. It's not as the Spirit wills. It is as I will. It's a gift that He's given me for private use that I can use whenever I want. The problem is the church at Corinth didn't understand the difference between the public gift of tongues and the private gift of tongues. And they were bringing this private gift of tongues over into their public worship, and it was confusing everybody. And you can keep reading here. We've already looked at it, but for the sake of those who are looking at me like a cow at a new gate, let's read it again. He says here in verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, meaning everybody can, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one who is unlearned. He is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you in truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, every one of you hath a doctrine, every one of you hath a tongue. Every one of you hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. He's saying that this gift of tongues, it's going to lead to your spiritual walk with the Lord exploding. These things are going to be coming alive to you. You're going to be getting all these things in private. But what they were doing was taking what they were getting in private and trying to display it in public, and it was administering confusion to people there who were unlearned or unbelievers. He goes down in verse 27 and says, if any man, anyone, pastor, apostle, whoever, any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, that of by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him do what? Keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. He goes down in verse 32 and says, and the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet, for God is not the author of confusion, but of the God of peace. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Wait a minute, Paul. I thought you just got done forbidding them to speak with tongues. Didn't he tell them, no one do it, no one speak with tongues unless there's an interpreter? He did forbid them from the use of public tongues without an interpreter, but the gift of private tongues, no one should forbid you to do it in your own private life. There's a difference between the gift of the Spirit of speaking in tongues and the personal gift of the Holy Spirit that God will give to every believer who asks for it. We've got to understand the difference in order to be a Spirit-filled church that is impacting the community. The Holy Spirit is given us the Holy Spirit not to showboat in a service to impress people with all of our spiritual revelation, but rather to minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a public setting and in private, us ministering a wonderful, beautiful language to our God, praying out mysteries and secrets about our future and walking in all of His will. But there's a difference between the public gift of tongues and the private gift of tongues. Does that make sense? Can everyone see that from Scripture there? There's a difference between the public gift and there's a difference between the private gift. Now, people have used these Scriptures in there because they didn't understand tongues to say that not every believer should. And the answer is twofold. Yes, that's half truth. Not every believer should speak in tongues in a service. Why? Unless there is an interpreter, but every believer should speak with an unknown tongue in private to edify themselves spiritually. Someone asked me the other night, is there any time where believers together could pray in an unknown tongue? And the answer is absolutely yes. Anytime there is a believers meeting where everyone there is a believer, it's a prayer meeting, everyone there is in agreement with the gift of tongues, then yeah, you can use it. Why? Because it's not going to minister confusion to anyone. But if someone is in there and they are unlearned or an unbeliever, it should never be used without an interpretation following it. That's not my wisdom. That's coming straight from the Bible. The second thing that I want to talk about tonight, just real briefly, is a lot of people think that when they get filled with when they get born again, that they've got all the Holy Spirit that can be given. And the truth of the matter is, nothing could be further from the truth. After you get born again, you are born of the Spirit, but you can still receive a second experience called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Real briefly, let me show it to you in Scripture. Go over to the book of John. On the screens, if you can pull up, let's see here, John chapter 3, common verse of Scripture in verse 16. We're going over to John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 17. In your Bibles, we're going to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. On the screens, go to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice, and you all know it, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved who? The world that He gave His only begotten what? Son." Who's His Son? Jesus. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus is God's gift to the world. Does everyone understand that? I mean, anyone, no matter how wretched of a sinner they were before Christ, anyone can receive Christ because Jesus is God's gift to the world, and whosoever can put their faith in Him. All right, so with that in mind, look here in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. He says, Jesus is talking here, and He said, "I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the what? Spirit of truth, whom the what? World cannot do what? Receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, and He shall dwell within you and shall be in you." He just said that the Holy Spirit, the world cannot what? Receive. Jesus is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is then God's gift to the believer. When you're born again, you are born of the Spirit. But the gift of the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, cannot happen to anyone in the world until they receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There are two experiences. When you are in the world, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then after that, you can receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me prove it to you in Scripture. Like I said, I'm closing. I'm going as fast as I can. Go over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. And let's look here in verse 12. book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. On the screens, pull up Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. We're looking at that in our Bibles. On the screens, go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, notice what it says here. It says, but when they believed Philip, now notice the wording here. I want you to see it. But when they did what? Believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Question, did these people right then make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior? Yes, they did. They believed in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in that name. Now, watch this in verse 13. It says, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering and beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Verse 14. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So question once again, had these people made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life? Yes, they had. Verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what? Receive the who? The Holy Spirit. Had they already received Jesus? Yes, because Jesus is God's gift to the what? World. When the apostles heard these people had received Jesus and believed on Jesus, what did they come to give them? They came to give them the what? The Holy Ghost. They wanted them to receive the Holy Ghost. And watch what happens here. Verse 17, when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, we see here that Simon must have saw something. That apparently when someone receives the Holy Ghost, there's a difference in what you can see. What did he see? I guarantee you he saw him speak with tongues. How do I know that? Because of what we're going to read here over in Acts chapter 19. Go down to Acts chapter 19. Don't believe me because I'm good looking. Believe me because I'm teaching you the word. Acts chapter 19. And let's look at verse 1. While you're turning in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, and Ananias went his way, and when he entered into the house, putting his hands on him, him being Saul. This is after Saul has receive Christ. This is after the vision that Saul had of Jesus and Jesus knocked him off of his high horse. This is after Paul has received Christ. Several days after, God sends him a man named Ananias. And Ananias went his way, entered into his house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Why did he call him Brother Saul? Because he was a brother in Christ Jesus. Saul had received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. He said, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. Paul did not stay blind. His thorn in the flesh was not blindness. His thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. Here he came to get his sight back and to what? Be filled with the what? So apparently after the Apostle Paul's conversion to the Lord Jesus, he still needed the what? The Holy Ghost. So God sent a man who was an apostle, which therefore debunks the belief that you need an apostle to lay his hands on you in order to receive the Holy Ghost. He sent a basic believer named Ananias to lay his hands on Brother Saul. Why? So that he might what? Receive the Holy Ghost. This is my favorite example, though, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. It said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came into Ephesus, finding certain what? Disciples. Are these people born again? Yes, they're following after Christ. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you what? Believed. He knew these people were believers. And notice what the first question he asked these believers were. Have you received the what? The Holy Ghost. Is it not amazing that in churches today, people get born again, but we never want to ask them, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That was the first question he wanted to know. Why? Because once you know the ministry of the Holy Spirit and why you should speak with tongues, once you enter into the room of the learned, there is no one in this world who can shut you up and to get you from stop doing it because you see the benefit it yields to you. And watch what happens here in verse 2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, well, then what were you baptized in? They said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, which is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Oh, I love it. They've accepted Jesus. He wants to know, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believe? He said, we've never even heard of the Holy Ghost. He tells them about the Holy Ghost, lays his hands on them. They all get filled. And you know what happened when they got filled? They spake with an unknown tongue. Friend, I'm telling you, you can speak with an unknown tongue. You may be born again, but there is another gift the Lord wants to give you, and that's to make you filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it enables the Holy Ghost ministry to become prevalent in your life. And when that ministry is prevalent in your life, you're going to be endued with power from on high to enable you to carry out his purpose. And you're going to know what is the purpose of God for your life because there's no one else who can teach it to you but the Holy Ghost. We're going to cover all that in Scripture next week. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go before the Lord.